Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. We're going to chat about something that is extremely near and dear to my heart and my soul. And with a wonderful, good friend of mine and colleague of mine who has been there for me and for my dachshunds too. And his name is Dr. Jemiah Tracy. And he can walk on water in my world. So, how are you, Dr. Tracy?
Good. How are you, Dr. Christman?
I'm great. Thank you so much for joining us too and being here. So you're a
Thanks
board
for having me.
You're welcome. So you're a board neurologist, and I just want to give a little bit of background to everybody that's tuning in. So you were born and raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where you graduated from Penn Hill Senior High School, and then you earned your undergraduate degree at the University of Pennsylvania by bio degree. So you have a huge love of baseball and football. So before I go further, always had a love for baseball, huh?
Always, always. I played since I was 5 years old, started with T-ball.
Wow. So what's your favorite baseball team?
Pittsburgh Pirates. Okay. It's just rough. They're not great team, but I'm loyal.
You're loyal. Absolutely. We'll take it. Yeah. And so you attended veterinary school at Ohio State University and then completed a one-year rotating small animal internship at Carolina Veterinary Specialist in Charlotte, North Carolina, and then traveled around, did so many wonderful things back in New Jersey, and then you joined the VRC team in 2020. Dr. Tracy's special interests include IVDD treatment and management, atlantoaxial instability management, management of inflammatory CNS diseases, and of course, seizure management. So wait, in your personal life, everyone get a load of this. He is an incredible husband to his three boys. How old are them? How old are they?
They are 5, 3, and 3 months.
Wow, so that keeps you busy.
Oh, yeah.
So unbelievable.
I'm starting kindergarten this year, so that's the new exciting thing.
Right. Definitely keeps you busy. So, yeah, I want to talk about, you know, intervertebral disc disease. And more specifically, you have a procedure that not many around the country do. So tell us a little bit about the procedure in order to be more proactive than reactive when it comes to intervertebral disc disease.
Yeah. So the procedure is called percutaneous laser disc ablation, PLDA. What it is, it's a purely preventative prophylactic procedure that's minimally invasive to prevent disc herniations in the breeds that it's common in. So as you know very well, dachshunds are probably the poster child for herniated disc disease. But you get into beagles, shih tzus, Maltese, Pekingese, French bulldogs, all of those dogs tend to have disc disease where they can herniate their disc and it can cause degrees of paralysis, back pain. What this procedure is, it's minimally invasive, uses spinal needles to approach each disc space in the middle of the back where these herniated discs tend to occur. And then using fluoroscopy, I pass laser fibers through those spinal needles right into the middle of each disc space. And the goal is to deliver a laser impulse into each disc space that takes the degenerative disc that's now dried up and desiccated and breaks it up into much smaller pieces, takes it back towards a liquid state, and decreases the pressure at each disc space. So in your typical dachshund, French bulldog, beagle, about a 20 to 25% chance of having a back issue at some point in their life. This procedure takes it down to about 5 to 9% based on studies done. And this was originated in Oklahoma State University. So that's where I went to learn the procedure.
And how do you as a neurologist or say me as a general practitioner recommend that to a pet owner?
The best candidates for it are one, they're just one of those breeds that are very common to have this issue. Two, they have had an episode of back pain before, whether they've improved with medical management or surgery, they're still candidates. And then three, I mean, just knowing about the procedure and pointing the owners to it.
Right.
I'm happy to educate them.
Is it a tough sell in the sense of trying to get the owners buying on it?
Not a tough sell. Most of the people that are interested in it have either had a dog with back issues, so they've been through it already and they don't want to go through it again. That's most of the procedures that I do are dogs that are in that situation. Or I'm starting to get into a class of people that have had a previous dog with the issue and they've gotten another dachshund or French bulldog and they don't want to go through it again. And those are the ones I find really interesting because I would be interested to see if those dogs ever have a back issue when it's done as a pure preventative.
Right. And have you seen, and to your point on that, the ones that you've done those procedures on, have they been, knock on wood, so far so good?
Yeah, most of them. The only ones I've had come back, unfortunately, the procedure does not address discs in the neck.
Okay.
And we can only go back to between the fifth and sixth lumbar vertebrae, so it doesn't address lumbosacral disease. So I've had two now, actually, as of last week, three dogs come back with lumbosacral disease, which is right where the tail meets the back. Right. The hips are physically in the way, so I can't do that procedure there. And those are the dogs that I've had as return with any issues. But knock on wood, I haven't had any come back with a disc that I've addressed already.
That's really good. So you're referring to conditions such as cervical versus, and also caudal equinus syndrome?
Correct. Yep.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, I think it's wonderful. I mean, to the listeners, just to give you background. So when Dr. Tracy talked to me about this, I was about to get Connor signed up for it, and then he went down. So I was unable to do it more proactively, but he had to do it, you know, actively, I guess, when he T12, T13. So, but yeah, I think that's wonderful. What, to our listeners out there, fellow veterinarians, what are some things that we should know more about with intervertebral disc disease?
The main thing is that it's a degenerative disease. So it's a process that starts between the ages of 1 and 2. In these dogs that are predisposed. And what happens is that disc, I usually refer to it as a jelly donut in between each vertebrae, should be soft, gelatinous, provide cushion. Between the ages of 1 and 2, that jelly starts to dry up and it becomes more hardened, calcified, more of a gritty, chalky toothpaste-like material. So that puts more pressure on each disc space to hold, each outer covering at each disc space to hold that material in. So the dogs don't have to be doing anything extreme, as I'm sure you know, to blow a disc in their back. It can be normal running, jumping, playing, turning around to lick themselves, anything can cause that disc to rupture. So
you nailed it. I was just going to say with Connor, he just went to lift his leg to pee, to urinate, mm-hmm. and he went down. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's so scary. I got to tell you too, Dr. Tracy, like, just, you know, as a veterinarian, it's one thing, at least I knew that what was going on, but as a dog dad, it's horrible to watch. It really is. Yeah. To see your dog be, you know, mobile, and then just within a nanosecond, they just go down for the count in the back end. And so I think a lot of our colleagues have this question that goes back and forth in their mind: to cut or not to cut, to refer and not to refer? That is the question, right? So what are some indications that you could share with our like colleagues that, you know, I know we talk about conscious proprioception, superficial pain, deep pain, those kinds of things. So what are some indications for you? Is like something that you should refer to the neurologist, or is this something that should require surgery?
And I don't think it's ever wrong to refer to a neurologist if you have a dog with back pain, especially if the owner is willing to go have a conversation. But taking a step back, when I have a patient with back issue. I kind of try to get them on a scale and classify their degree of paralysis. So the degree of paralysis runs from level 1 to level 5, with 1 being the least severe and 5 being the most severe. So just to run through those really quickly, level 1 is back pain only. So those dogs are still, you know, walking, going about their life, getting from point A to point B, but maybe not jumping up and down on things as much as usual or not as playful as they usually are. Level 2 is called ambulatory paraparesis, which is that drunken sailor type gait where they're walking, but maybe sidewinding, unstable in their back legs. Level 3 is non-ambulatory paraparesis. Those dogs are no longer walking. So they are moving their back legs, wagging their tail, but not strong enough to stand. So those dogs I call wagon and dragon is kind of how I classify them. Level 4 is no longer having movement in the back leg, so they're paraplegic, but they still have feeling in their toes and tail. And then level 5 is the worst case scenario, which is no movement in the back legs, no feeling in their toes and tail. So paraplegic with no deep pain. So usually I'll say medical management is okay for levels 1 and 2. So the pain or the unsteady gait. Level 3, 4, and 5 is when I start to push harder for surgical correction.
Okay.
So when dogs stop being strong enough to stand and walk or get around, I think that's a good line in the sand to say, you know, we should start really considering surgery.
Right. There is this, you kind of touched on it, but as a general thing is that I hear is if they wag, they walk. and is that kind of more or less something that you see, like as a generalist, when I see that they're down for the count, but the tail is wagging. And of course I do my own neuro exam on them, but it leads me to think that if they were to have surgery, there's a greater chance for them to be fully ambulatory post-op.
Yeah. So I usually use the, if they wag, they walk, is in recovery a lot of times. So when they're on the upswing, whether it's from surgery or medical management, if they wag their tail in recovery, usually I get really confident that they'll go on to walk again.
Okay.
As far as the other direction, I'm a little more uncertain.
All right.
So with medical management, dogs, you know, as long as they have feeling, there's a 50 to 70% chance they could get better on their own with medical management. But as you nailed it with surgery, I feel comfortable giving dogs 90 to 95% chance if we can act quickly enough while they still have feeling to go on a walk again.
And you know, I know you know this, but our listeners may not know that I had a patient of mine, his name was Cosmo, that presented to me at the age of 2. And he was completely paralyzed in the back end and post-operative, all those different things, because his owners, you know, of course, waited long. There was a whole bunch of things that came into play, but he lived till he was 14. I mean, and he's the reason why I wrote that book. I go, honey, have you squeezed the docs? Because it really does talk about, you know, dogs that are in a cart. They live wonderful lives. They certainly have a little extra care that they need, but his spirit and his incredible willingness to like live every day was so inspirational to me as both as a dog dad and as a veterinarian. I think it's incredible. So, you know, I mean, you have both ends of the spectrum on that too, you know, ones that walk, whatever, and may not, but you do have to set expectation to clients to know that there is some work involved, of course, with, you know, manually express it in their bladder and those kinds of things, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And it's, I mean, I'm always happy to help either way. So whether dogs are paralyzed, want surgery, it's all about counseling.
A lot of pet parents like the integrative approach post-operatively too. So what are your thoughts, or what's your go-to for dogs that are recovering from back? I know it depends on the scale, but talk to me about hydrotherapy, acupuncture. Like, what does that look like to you?
So the way I approach that is physical therapy in dogs is just like physical therapy in humans. It's going to help you get better quicker, more completely. It's hard. So dogs, just like humans, don't love going to physical therapy all the time. until they realize what it is and they get treats and they get encouragement from it. But the main things I do like to incorporate with PT, I find laser therapy helps in the short term with inflammation, help to reduce pain. The physical therapist I work with now and in New Jersey, Dr. Lowe, both did acupuncture, which I think helps a lot as far as inflammation and pain. The hard part with that, kind of reconciling with myself, I don't know how it works, but I know it does work. I've seen it help enough patients of mine where I do recommend it. Yeah. And then underwater treadmill hydrotherapy helps a lot with supporting, taking weight off of off their legs so they can gait train. It helps with keep the joints supple. Allows them to walk when they can't always on land, to help build up that strength slowly until they get better. Right. So PT, physical therapy, helps my patients a lot with post-op recovery.
Yeah, it's wonderful to hear. It really is. I mean, it's such a collaborative, teamwork-based approach to getting these dogs back to walking. You know, I even think of the dogs that I remember not too long ago, I think it was just a few months ago, I was practicing on an English Mastiff that was, you know, quadriparetic on an English Mastiff, you know, cervical. And so you can only imagine, I'm sure you see it all the time, where you have to, you know, flip them every 15 minutes and work with them. It's a lot of work too, I'm sure, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And you nailed it. It's a team approach, including the pet parents at home, because there's exercises to do at home and flipping them and nursing care, that they get the brunt of it. And so it's a full team.
Right. Full team. So in order for Jemiah Tracy to be the best Jemiah Tracy, both in and out of the exam rooms, I understand that you have a love. Well, you and your wife have a love for Disney, correct?
We do. Yeah. Actually proposed to my wife at Disney in Florida. So
where did you propose to her at? In the front of the castle, or?
It was on the side of the castle, kind of going over the bridge into Main Street.
Yes, love it. And I love seeing your pictures of the kids too, because now you're starting to bring them to Disney and to share those memories, which I think is wonderful. It really is so sweet.
Yeah, it's really cool to be able to take them and every year add to the pic. Not every year, every time we have another child, add to the picture.
Right. And yeah, you get to see Disney through their eyes, which is a whole different lens, which is so nice. It really is. So awesome. Very cool. So Dr. Jemiah Tracy, tell our listeners where we can find out more about you at VRC.
So you can check out the website. It's www.vrcmalvern.com. If you want to email me, I'm always happy to answer questions, especially about the percutaneous laser disc ablation technique, or PLDA. My email, I'm sure we'll get it up, but it's jemiah.tracy@vrcmalvern.com. Those are the two best ways to know more.
Excellent. And yes, we'll put that all in the show notes and the article, so that way you guys can reach out to him at your convenience as well. So Dr. Jemiah Tracy, thank you so much for being on the podcast, and thank you for all you do.
It was a pleasure, and thank you for what you do. And I follow you on every social media possible, and anything short of real life, be stalking, but awesome. Thank you so much for just being you.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. It's the world to me. I mean, you know how much this is such a soft spot for me with what you do for a living. And I can't thank you enough for everything that you do. And I learn all the time from you, which is great. So you're wonderful. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate today's podcast. It always helps us out significantly. And we will see you right here next time on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.